Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marka Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The date today is the 28th of Rabi'ul Awal 1446. Alhamdulillah, we have Mufti Farhan Karani. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Sahab. Alhamdulillah, how's Mufti Sahab doing?
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Alhamdulillah, back to madrasa yesterday.
Started. No, it's after better when you come back from holidays. Oh, you have to redo all the surahs and du'as and all the work you taught them. You have to redo it. Every holiday, same better.
Gee.
I don't know what happens to the students in holidays. Like, they like, put their brain on research and then you forget everything and then you come back and that mistake that you corrected long time ago, it trips him again.
Is it because we tend to just be so oblivious during the holidays, and we have to say to a certain degree as well, it's not just the students, but as well, maybe it's the as well influence from other sides, from parents, from sometimes the child doesn't want to do a haircut that is against the Sharia. But now the parents' influence, and we find these instances, Mufti Sahab, where children want to because they have that still that fitrah, that natural inclination towards deen. So it's easy to advise them. But then when they go out or they are now less connected to the madrasa, then they find an influence. Maybe there's a wedding or maybe there's something now, cut your hair like this, do this here, do this wrong. So this then definitely keeps the children back. Mufti Sahab, just you
definitely
may...
I've seen it also that sometimes the child doesn't want to wear the clothes, he doesn't want to have the haircut, but the parents first, maybe the mother will say, no, you need to cut it like this here. No, there's, like you say, there's a wedding, you need to wear the suit here, you need to wear the clothes like this here, and you can't dress in this way. And so parents influence, and then sometimes the children are like, you know, when it's madrasa time, they will throw their hair one length. As soon as it's holiday, they go to the barber and they cut the hair two lengths and three lengths. You know, get three and four lengths also. Mm. They call it a step haircut. Mm. And then in time for madrasa again, then they go back to the barber and cut it all like number three or number four. You know, it appears that they are appearing and behaving in all of this. But, you know, we can't fool Allah Ta'ala. You know, I was, alhamdulillah, last week, went to go in meet Masari Kesaisa. So I asked him, you know, he doesn't speak much. So you go to visit him, then you just sit with him. He won't say anything. Then you ask him, oh, is this yet? Oh, then he starts. Then there's no end to it. And alhamdulillah. So I asked him, Hazrat Samnas yet? So he said, you came on holiday. Well, you know, the way he asked you that question, like, you know, you feel bad, like, how could you come on a holiday? There's no holiday for a mu'min. And he told me that before, like, you know, holiday, you go for holiday, yeah. What holiday? For mu'min, there's no holiday. And all the time you have to be in a part of Allah Ta'ala. And so then he explained something, he said, that to look around you and see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, inna fi dhalika. So that if you look around you, you will see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And you, within you also, you will find the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. The human body is such a marvelous machine that man cannot recreate such a machine. That it is so perfect. And it is so unique that only Allah Ta'ala can create this human machine. So if you look at things around us, if you drive on the, in our country, now our beautiful country, South Africa, Allah Ta'ala keep it with us here and safety and security.
I mean.
And save it from all Western influence and kuffar dominance. make it a Muslim country, inshallah. No, Maulana, our country is so beautiful. We have snow, and we have desert, we have forest, we have the ocean, and we have everything in this country. The Western world comes to South Africa for holiday, and we in our own country, we don't see our country. And we must take our time and go and explore South Africa. Such a beautiful country. If you drive from here, take a drive to PE or to Cape Town, take the Garden Route. Mashallah. You just look at Allah Ta'ala's creation. You just say Subhanallah. You can't get over the scenery that you're looking at. And you look at a mountain, a small little mountain looking like a dome. And then you look at one next to it is a bit bigger than that one, and another one is a bit bigger than that one. But who created it like that? I mean, three mountains, they look all the same shape but different sizes. It's only Allah Ta'ala who could create it. Then you look at the backdrop of the huge mountains, and as you, it looks black. Like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that some mountains are وَخَرَابِ بُسُودِ sea black. But then you come closer to those mountains, you'll find it's green. And sometimes the sunlight is on that mountain, only on the mountaintop. And there's no sunlight beneath it. And then you look at the glory of Allah Ta'ala, you look at this magnificent scene, and you think, Ya Allah, only you can create such a thing. And then if you look at the mountains, they are all on the same height. If you look at one mountain on this side of the highway, and you look at one on the other side of the highway, they're all the same height. And how was it created like it? Yes, okay, scientists will tell you that it's the geographical movements of the earth, the tectonic plates and all. We don't worry about all that. Look at the marvelous creation of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala created it. Allah Ta'ala wanted it to be created in that way. That it's all in uniform and uniformity. Everything is. And then you look at the vegetation. You find vegetation in short vegetation, and as you go to a different area, you'll find vegetation, different trees there, and then you'll find different kind of grass also. Now you find yellow grass, and then just after the yellow grass stops, you find brown grass growing, and then green grass growing. And look at the creation of Allah. If you look at things around us, it's supposed to make our iman strong. It's supposed to rejuvenate our iman. It's supposed to make us appreciate Allah Ta'ala's creation. And there's no doubt whatsoever that Allah is the creator. That nobody else is the creator. And nothing else created anything in this world. There's no Big Bang that created everything. No, and I explained to the students, this theory, it's a theory. It even tells you it's a theory of the Big Bang. So if I take a bomb and I place it in a house, and I detonate that bomb, what's going to happen? Everybody says the whole house will explode. There'll be nothing left. There'll be all rubble, nothing else but rubble. So I asked the scientists that, how can you please explain to me that if a bomb which is detonated explodes and it destroys everything around it, then how can you convince me to believe that there was a spark in the universe and everything was created? It just doesn't make sense. You will even acknowledge that a bomb will explode. And I mean, if you see wars everywhere, wars happening everywhere. You see new trees growing and you see new buildings coming up and skyscrapers being developed. No, everything is destroyed. Rubble, everything is destroyed, utterly destroyed. So the theory of a Big Bang creating everything is utter nonsense. And put it in that way, simple words, because it simply does not make sense to the human mind. And it is only Allah Ta'ala who created everything. Allah Ta'ala even says, now look in the sky. And look in the sky. Does it have any pillars? The sky doesn't have any pillars. But how is the sky held up? If you look at the clouds, you know, you fly through the clouds. You know, if you skydive and you fall through the clouds, you're not going to get wet. But that same cloud, Allah Ta'ala creates the rain from the same cloud. There's no swimming pool, large reservoir in the air where the water is stored and then slowly gets released from the air. That cloud has no water inside, but Allah Ta'ala sends the water down from that cloud. So all these things we look around us. He was speaking about the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Look at the difference, the rivers, look at the ocean. You know, look at the ocean, and you just sit and just look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and how beautiful Allah Ta'ala's creation is. And we're only looking at the surface of the ocean. What is beneath the ocean? Different creations of Allah Ta'ala, different fish in the ocean, different specimens in the ocean, different stones and coral reefs and Allah Ta'ala's creation. Now, who can create these things? No, scientists, they believe before that the deeper you go into the ocean, then the lesser oxygen there is. Now only they discovered that they were wondering that how do those fish that swim right down at the bottom of the ocean at 8,000 and 10,000 meters down under the ocean, on the ocean bed, how do they live? There's no oxygen, there's no light. So now they discovered that there are stones at the bottom of the ocean that release oxygen. SubhanAllah, there are stones at the bottom of the ocean that release oxygen. So how they found out this is they always like to excavate and take samples of everything. So they send their submarine down the Mariana Trench or somewhere, and they dug out some rock samples, and they brought it up. And they found that those rocks were releasing oxygen. So now they understand that how those fish live under the ocean. So everything in Allah Ta'ala's system is unique, and Allah Ta'ala's system is perfect. If we see everything around us, we're supposed to be ibarat. إِنَّ فِذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةَ لِيُولِ الْأَبْصَارِ. And in this year, in that, in everything around you, there is a lesson, there is a ibarat, there is a nasihat. And if you just have to sit down and think and ponder and just marvel at Allah Ta'ala's creation. And if you look at even animals, look at the animals, the different kind of vegetation, crops that are growing. You look at a desert also. Look at a desert. What comes to mind, look at a desert. That Jannat is barren. There's nothing in Jannat. That we have to, when you read a SubhanAllah, tree will grow. And you read Alhamdulillah, another tree will grow. Allah Akbar, another tree will grow for you. And you do other good deeds. A river will be for you there in Jannah. You pick up dirt in a masjid, get a palace in Jannat. And a palace in Jannat is 70,000 rooms. What's the Buckingham Palace? Nothing. It's 70,000 rooms. And each room got one floor inside there. Imagine. Just imagine. And then beneath these palaces, there's rivers flowing. And there's rivers of honey. And there's rivers of milk. And if you leave milk outside, it will go off. After a few hours, you leave it outside, it will go off and in the sun. And the rivers of milk flowing, it doesn't go off. And the rivers of honey, nothing happens to it. And the rivers of wine. And this is the qudrat, this is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Then if you look at other ayat, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, and Allah Ta'ala is saying, look within you. Look at my system, the system I've created within you. And you will see my qudrat in you. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Can't you see? And Allah Ta'ala is saying, can't you see? Look at yourself. You can look at your hand. Look at how Allah Ta'ala created the hand. If you don't have a thumb, you can't hold anything. You can't hold something with four fingers. You can't clasp it. You can't hold it firmly. If you don't have one toe on your foot, and you can't walk properly, you need a prosthetic, or you need a special kind of a shoe, or you need something to put onto that part where the toe is missing to make your balance stable. And so everything in us, if you look at our eyes, if you look at our nose, how Allah Ta'ala created our nose, our face, everything on our face is in the place where it's supposed to be. Imagine if a person's nose was behind his head. Or if he wanted to smell, he had to turn around and smell something. His ears were on his forehead. Allah Ta'ala created it in such a way that it's perfect. That the ears are on the side and it creates the balance of the body. And the eyes are in front and the nose is where it's supposed to be. The correct place where it's supposed to be, the mouth, and we look at everything else in our body. We look at our organs, the organs in our body, You know, if you just look at a simple organ like a kidney, the kidney is so unique and it's so small. It's a small organ in the body. But the function is so great. The kidney is a filter of our body. It filters our blood and filters all our waste through. And it is such a unique and such a marvelous creation of Allah Ta'ala. If this kidney stops functioning, you need a million rand machine, which is huge in size. And you have to move it around and you have to connect pipes to it and then connect the pipes into your body in different places. And to do the function of a small little kidney. Imagine, a whole machine has to do the function of one kidney. And then you have to repeat the process over and over after every few hours. And that kidney, that small little kidney that I created, is made of flesh, blood, nothing flesh. And it does the work of that whole machine. And so everything, every single thing, you know, the doctor will tell you that the tonsil, remove it. There's no purpose for a tonsil. There's a purpose for everything. And Allah Ta'ala says, you didn't create anything without a purpose. You didn't create anything without a purpose. Everything what Allah Ta'ala created is there for a purpose. Look at the spleen. You look at every single thing in our body is there. But maybe we don't know the purpose of it. We don't know what's the function of it. It's like we say it's something extra. Allah Ta'ala didn't create anything extra. We never come with extra hands and extra feet. Or if you lose a limb or there's a spare, then you want a spare. There's no spares. Allah Ta'ala created it in a perfect way. So we look at the outside in the air. We look on the land. We look in the ocean. And we look in the sky. We see Allah Ta'ala. We see Allah Ta'ala's creation. And we see Allah Ta'ala in it. You know, the awliya, when they see, they look at anything, they will see Allah Ta'ala in it. Because they have Allah Ta'ala in their heart. So when they look at anything, they're looking with the eyes of Iman, the nur of Iman. So they will see Allah Ta'ala in it. Even if they see something which is ugly, they will see Allah Ta'ala's beauty in it. And when we look at something, it's just you're looking at something. And the awliya Allah, when they look at it, sometimes when they see something, they fall unconscious. And you wonder, why did he fall unconscious? So because he thought of something else. Looking at that thing, he thought of something else. And it reminded him of either Jannat or Jahannam. It reminded him of the Azab of Allah Ta'ala. It reminded him of Qiyamah. So we don't take lesson like that. So our Iman has to be built. And people go on holiday, and the Iman also goes on holiday. And Iman must not go on holiday. And when we are at home, we remain Muslim. But as soon as we go on a journey, then we forget our identity as Muslims. We don't want to dress as a Muslim. And the Maulana also, but when he goes on a holiday, he's wearing Bermudas and he's wearing slipper, no topi, he's wearing a hat. And are you a Muslim and a Maulana only at home? Or are you a Muslim and Maulana on safar also? That's our identity as a Muslim. It means that person is now, he is feeling trapped in this body of a Maulana. He's feeling trapped in this kurta and topi. He feels it's a burden to him. He can't wait to get out of it. And we saw this here. We saw this in madrasa. You know, the students, some students, they felt so burdensome when they were in the madrasa that they couldn't wait to get out of the madrasa. Mm-hmm. As soon as the madrasa closed and as soon as they're out of the gate, they're rubbing the kurtas out. They're pulling the kurtas out, the topi is everything, and they're putting on the slippers and the caps and everything. And you think that, why is he even in the madrasa? Why is he becoming a hafiz? Why is he becoming alim? He's in the fourth year. Why is he becoming alim? If he hates Islam so much, he hates Islamic God so much, that why is he even in the madrasa? And these are the same people who destroy the deen. They destroy Islam. Because the reason for being in the madrasa is wrong. They are there for the dunya. And they are not there to benefit themselves. They're not there to grow their iman. They're not there to identify who they are and why they are loving and why they have been created and who Allah Ta'ala is. And so Imam Nasani said, you can't make anybody a Mufti. You can't make anybody a Mufti. You have to select the person, to select him You have to see their akhlaq. You have to see what kind of a person is. He's a greedy person. Can't make him an alim also. Can't make him an alim. Why? Because he's going to sell the deen. He's going to go and sell the deen. He's going to sell Islam from here end. And is who was it? Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah. He was a student in the madrasa, and a big, huge madrasa. And the king used to run that madrasa. And the king used to spend lots and lots of money on that madrasa, on the students' food and accommodation and the ustad salaries and everything, running and upkeeping of everything, the gardens and everything. And he thought to himself, you know what, I think I'm wasting my money, man. Let me go and see what is happening in this madrasa. So he went, he disguised himself as a normal person. He went inside there and he's speaking to the students, asking them, why are you studying here? You know, my father is a Qazi. I want to become a Qazi also. Why are you studying? No, I want to be a Qari like my grandfather. And why are you studying here? I want to be this here. I want to be there. And he was so depressed. And that thing, he understood who Allah Ta'ala is. He had the hope of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. So he made up his mind and said, no, this is it. I'm closing down. So he saw one student there in a corner there with a small candle in the corner. So he said, okay, let me go and speak to him. Went to him there. The student is only looking in his kitab and learning his kitab. And the king asked him, why are you learning in the madrasa? So he sat up, he looked at him, he said, you know, I learned that there is a creator, created everything. So then I learned further, why did the creator create me? And why did Allah Ta'ala create me? What does he want from me that he created me? So I learned that Allah Ta'ala wants me to worship him. So then I asked the question, that how do I worship my Allah Ta'ala? So now I'm learning how to worship my Allah Ta'ala. So the king got so happy with his answer. And he said that now. So he said, mashallah, everything. He went away. Then he came back, dressed as a king. And he came with his guards and his horses, everything. And he came to the madrasa. And he had a big jalsa. And he called everybody. And then he said, you know what? I came here. This guy is a normal person. And I got all these responses from all the students here. And I was so disappointed. I wanted to close down the madrasa. But the small little boy there, Ghazali, because of him, I will keep the whole madrasa running. Yeah. Because of the answer he gave me. So, you'll find a gem amongst all the stones. Like the one thing, he went hunting. So, at night, when he was hunting, he lost his some jewel. And now it was night time. He couldn't see. There was no LED lights and things. So he told his guards, gather all the stones here on the ground here, all the stones, just gather everything. We'll sort it out tonight, or in the morning we'll sort it out. So they gathered all the stones. And in the morning, in the sunlight, they sifted all the stones out and they found the one gem inside amongst all the stones. So you will find one gem amongst the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And women seek spend company in the company of these gems, and you must benefit for our iman and our akhirat through these gems by sitting in their company. And you know, if you sit by a buzruk, even if he doesn't speak anything, just by him maintaining silence, in that also there's nur. In that there's nur, because the nur of the iman is in his heart and it's flowing out, it's gushing out. And if you're sitting there and you sit with the niyat of benefiting from this person, then you will benefit, you will get imani and ruhani strength. So what we're speaking about is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and how to recognize the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and how to appreciate the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and around us, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, and inside of us also the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So we must inculcate the quality of ikhlas and the quality of true iman in our hearts, that we can through the nur of iman we can see the light even if we're in a dark. Even if we're in a dark, we can see life. You know, in times of difficulty, you know, situations like the COVID time, yeah, it was the true ulama who guided us out of that darkness. If it wasn't for them, we would be also lost in that darkness. If they didn't remind us that this is not the way we're supposed to be living, we have to fight this oppression, and we have to keep our iman, and we can't accept closing of our masajid. We can't accept these laws of the kuffar put upon us. If it wasn't for them, we would be lost. We have been lost. So we must appreciate the ulama, and we must spend time in the company of these ulama, and we must appreciate them, and we make dua that Allah Ta'ala keep our pious ulama amongst us for longer. You know, Asim Ahmad Sariq, he told me himself, he said, you know what, I'm 84 years old. He's 80. My mother, if you look at him, I'm telling you, he can lift you off the ground. He's, mashallah, he's strong, and his iman is strong, and he's muscular, and he's not scared of, he's not afraid of anybody. And the way he talks also, he still has so much of strength, mashallah, in him. And so Allah Ta'ala keep him with us for longer. Allah Ta'ala make us benefit from him even longer. And all the other righteous ulama al-haqqi, alimi rabbani amongst us.
Mufti Saab, just before you leave us, we're just interested in the trip to PE. So how much does it cost for people? Because as you've mentioned, Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai is now quite old, and people should go and visit him, inshallah. And their whole perspective will change. Our perspective changed when we met him, alhamdulillah. But just the details, like how much does it cost for a youngster or for some youth to get together to go? Where will they stay in a nice accommodation that's not going to be with fitna? And
it's cheaper to drive down. If you're going to drive down among 4 or 5 people, it will cost you just the petrol. It depends what kind of car you're driving. It's 1,000. About 1,100 kilometers from here, from Johor. And in the amount of days you can stay there, really some halal accommodation there. Somebody has some halal accommodation there. It's outside of these, but there is other places also that you can stay. And then spend some time with one of the side there.
Inshallah. We say Jazakumullah khairan. Mufti Saab, make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.